Good morning, honorable members. For those of you who are here to observe, media houses, if you have any, you are all here in pursuit of the struggle for social justice in our country. Just as a word of welcome, I was very much impressed and worried when we had the presentation on the education transition. Worried from the transitional process, its clarity, its weak concreteness. If there's one thing we cannot afford, is the settlement of the early child education. I want to repeat Sonia's words, where she said, if you want to control it at the end, you must control it at the beginning. If there's one thing this country should not be comfortable about, is the grayness on the state of the early education. We've got a right to give birth and have children. We've got an obligation to prepare them for the life we've brought them in. I usually say to one of my boys who sometimes can be out of order, I say to him, making a child is not a skill. The biggest skill is bringing up a child. Even a drunkard can make a child. You can't say because you've got 5 kids, you've got better skill than those, because there's no skill required. Skill is how you bring up a child and build a viable human being. Because early child education is about constructing a viable human being. So that when you die with a clear conscience that you are living on earth, a human being who can take care of even yourself. You prepare a child for the life where you will be absent. That's how fundamental early child education is. One of the fundamentals of it is that even if there's no money to take kids to higher education, kids who are properly trained at an early level and primary level, that is already a foundation to drive themselves to higher level. But if it's not properly done there, they end up university in a fragile state. So I'm saying, DG, this issue of early child and social development, we can't be the contributors in delaying its settlement so that kids get proper preparation for human life at an early age. The fundamental thing. One of the fundamental things in the early child education is self-belief. Like it. The biggest problem, especially those who are historically stressed, is that we were not allowed to be exposed to an education that gave us self-belief at a young age. That's why the programs in early child care are very, very important. The kind of activities that take place must make children to have a sense of self-worth, to have this I can. So, my DJ, fellow South African, and your beloved team, DSD cannot be responsible for the delay of the settlement early child education. Now the worst genocide we can commit. I thought, I want to make these remarks about this. Very, very fundamental. Some of you may not know, I was a teacher before. Good result, untrained. I'll show you where I used to teach methods. Untrained. I love this thing of imparting knowledge to other people. The little I have. So, this is a fundamental issue. I repeat what I said there, that the stats show 53% of the unemployed do not have matric. Those who go to university, it's only one third of those who started. It cannot be. And my attitude is very simple, by the way, in that I've got no time to spend every second of my life blaming those who oppress me, because I made them heroes of my life. I refuse. Every time I wake up, I want to undermine the legacy of those who oppress me. Undermine it, distort it, kill it. I think that's the responsibility we have. I thought it was important to me. I haven't done that before. I don't like making these long remarks, but today I thought I should. Any apologies? Who doesn't want to come to work?
I have a few apologies. One is from Mamong Gwena, who indicated that she's running late. She will join the meeting a bit late. Another one is from Honorable Sugar. She has a doctor's appointment today, so she went with us. Another one is from Mamong Blankolo, who also has a very responsible late. Those are the three apologies.
Our members, can I table apologies?
I move for the acceptance.
Any second there? Well, I will stop. Thank you very much. The agenda is before you, honorable members. I pray that there is no addition. But I'm in your hands. You said in the agenda. What? All of us, Sam?
Thank you, Chief. Good morning, everyone. I am in agreeing with the agenda. There was an item that the chairperson last week said that she doesn't want a report on it the other week, but this week, and I did not see that.
Which one?
The agenda item was on the update on CAP 2019.
That's going to happen.
Yeah.
That's going to happen.
Okay, I just don't see it on the agenda.
No, let's put it, thank you very much. You know, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. We will speak about it here. We will get a report here. But it's not good yet. But if they see, maybe I look more something. I look more handsome than I thought I am. Thank you very much. The department is supposed to respond to last week's presentation. Did you? Where are you at?
Thank you, Chairman, and all of the members. We now are tabling our response to the presentations made last week, and the department has consolidated the areas that we thought we would want to engage the committee on, and making sure that we get a clearer understanding how finally Ms. Deco will be presenting, making our presentation.
honorable member, my colleague from DSP and all interested parties came to the meetings. Because Cabinet really is honorable chairperson to speak to this little voice. Primarily because of the very qualified to the bill that we are about to process in that is being voted now by Parliament. I thought for the people, for some of the people who have not been party to the conversations we've been having, just first to give a kind of a quick background of where we've come from in terms of this bill, and then where we are, so that by the time I get to the comments, then we are all on common ground. You will recall that the bill came last year. It's called the Social Assistance Amendment Bill. It was tabled last year, and in November, the Department had the opportunity to present the primary content of the bill. And following that, the bill was published for public comment. We Parliament received six, I think, written comments, which were discussed this month at the beginning of March or February. And then the next week, which is last week actually, the public hearings were held on the bill. The good thing is that the people who have sent in written comments are the same ones who came and gave the verbal responses to the provisions, and the majority of those responses were in the committee. The bill, in terms of what are the primary things that it's trying to do, the first one is to offer a part response to a very big problem that the country has been facing, which is the foster child crisis. So, in terms of the foster child crisis, never far away, that we've been having a huge backlog of foster child applications in the country, primarily because of the way in which the foster child care system is structured in the country. There's nothing wrong with this structure, it's just the high levels of demand for the foster child grant, which has led to the crisis. Two key areas that have resulted in the crisis. Firstly, while the foster child grant is intended to be a grant to enable parents or foster parents to look after children who are not their own children, what has happened is that because of the large numbers of orphans in the country, even family members or relatives who are looking after orphans have also tried to apply for the foster child grant. The reason being, the child support grant, which is intended to support families who are struggling to look after their children due to poverty, that grant amount is below 430. And so those families that are looking after children who are not their own biological children are also applying for the foster child system. The result is that their system, which is a temporary system, children in the foster child system are kept in that system for 2 years, and then after that, social workers are intended to then review and check whether or not the placement where they are is still appropriate, and then the next phase must then confirm that yes, this child is still in the correct place, and then a court order gets given. So the access to the foster child grant requires the court to give a court order for the grant to be given. Now that process, because there's a review every 2 years, many children fall out of the system due to the lapsing and the incapacity of the social workers to deal with the assessment in order to tailor them in court. So this huge backlog has resulted in many children who are needy beyond the money, who are also in need of care, are struggling to access the system of child protection. So what this bill is trying to do is say, let's give a part solution, eventually read in conjunction with the Children's Amendment Bill, which will come later to Parliament. So this one deals with the income element of the provision of child support in the country for children who are orphans. That's the first part of it, which I'll explain when I talk to the Parliament. And then the second bit of the bill, another piece, is to try to reduce the length of time that people who are applying for grants have to go through in order to wait for appeals to be dealt with. So the appeals program, the appeals tribunal that is established in the legislation is only meant to kick in to deal with appeals against others only after 3 months of reconsideration. So after three months of reconsideration in fact. But the problem with that is then people wait 120 days. 180 days in order for their appeals to be dealt with. We are saying that a delay in administrative justice. We want to reduce the time that it takes for people to be able to access that time in justice. That's the second provision. The third provision is primarily administrative in nature. The Act makes provisions for an inspection for social assistance.
But the government, the type of organizational form that is reflected in the legislation says the inspector should be a government department. We are saying it's not necessary for this inspector to be a government department, it should rather be a government company. Those are the three key provisions in the legislation. So the comments that we received have responded to all three, but also to some of the more administrative, technical amendments that we suggested to neaten up the legislation and also to introduce definitions that are there in order to enable us to implement the new clauses that were introduced in terms of the extended class contract. So the way in which I want to tackle them, the responses from the department, it is not necessarily to go through each and every single response that we have. It was, we were given the matrix that has been set, that is reflected on the screen there. So in that matrix, we respond to each and every clause and the extent to which there have been a response from the different stakeholders that we need to present. But I want to rather draw, for the purpose of focusing on the key areas, is to draw the portfolio committee's attention to the areas where they have received, the areas on the substantive policy issues that you are making.
So in other words, sorry, it's attending to orphans, reducing time, inspection. Those are three substantive issues.
So with regard then to the first, those amendments, I will not go through them step by step. I'll rather refer you to the ones that I'm giving you so that you can just focus on those ones.
Okay.
That's
smart.
So then, with regard to the first bit around the foster child issue, on page 4 of the document that we have started, we introduced a new section which is basically saying the Minister of Social Development is empowered in terms of that section 12 in page four of the document in front of you. Amendment number 10 is to allow the Minister of Social Development to be able to introduce an additional payment to the social service. That additional payment is what is intended to top up the existing child support grant so that children who are living with, often children who are living with their relatives can access an additional amount of money and therefore not need to go into the child support. The effect of that is once they are in that system, they are not placed in temporary care after the normal foster
child. So that is not added in the foster care kit, it's added in the child.
To the child support grant. Yes.
Okay.
So those children who are living with relatives can then access that grant, and because they are living with relatives, they don't have to be in this temporary format where every 2 years is waiting for the grant to be redeemed. So that's the idea of that grant. That's for possibility. We are saying, obviously, in order for any money to be made available, there needs to be concurrence by the Minister of Finance, so that the provision says that. The parties that responded, Black Nation Children's Institute, have supported that provision. In fact, all of the other parties supported the provision. But the good thing that we have done is also added some proposals to us as to how to implement it. Because one thing to have this fantastic idea of laptop, but if in the end we come up with regulations that are very onerous for the children to be able to access the benefits, then we will not win the job. So what I have suggested is that we need to deal with two key issues. One is the mechanism by which the children will be able to access the job. That the regulations that we come up with should not be there on us. We should not require very complicated documentation, and the approach of it should be fairly seamless for the beneficiary. So we are agreeing with all of the recommendations that they are made. One that we should, for example, think about understand the fact that many children might not actually know who their father, the family might not know the father. So we should not have an onerous definition of what an orphan is. So
in the way that we will craft the regulations, we will take this into account. Not necessarily require two justices here, because they might not even be a father reflected in the justice certificate in the first place. So that is something that we will take into the regulation.
But I suspect there will be a way in which the information that credibly say you are an
open. Definitely. One of the considerations is an affidavit. But the details of it, you will work through, of course, we will harden it in the regulation that will come up with after this. So a lot of all of these very long comments that I say are about supporting and saying, but be careful about how you structure the regulation so that it's still accessible to the children. That's the first part of the proposal. Then if we go then after that to the issues relating to, I'm going very quickly, Chairperson. The issues of the
smart to me.
Okay. So now we can then go to page 11. That is to deal now with the appeals tribunal. At the bottom of page 11, that's where the amendments are. It's clause 6 that we are changing, which our honorable tribunal said, in order for a person to make a, when someone has a complaint against us, in a very narrow sense, the tribunal has the authority to review and alter certain decisions in relation to applications for grants. So if somebody applies for a grant and Sata says no, you do not qualify for whatever reason, that person has a right in terms of the current legislation to say to Sata, you have to reconsider that decision, I do not agree with it. And SASA has 3 months in which to review their decision. Once they have reviewed the decision and they are still saying to the person, no, you do not qualify for a grant, that person has a right to approach the appeals tribunal. And the appeals tribunal will then look at the complaint or the appeal. That process results in basically two processes for which people have to complain. Now, this one says, let's do away with SASA's requirements for reconsideration. Because in the majority of cases, more than 90% of the cases, we have found that when SASA reviews this decision, and that decision then gets dealt with by the appeals tribunal, in more than 90% of the cases, the appeals tribunal confirms SASA's decision. So what that means is that there's just an extra administrative layer that people go through, but the decisions in the majority of cases do not change from the appeals tribunal. So this was to say, let's then do away with that initial 3 months period. Let's rather shorten the time by within which these appeals can be dealt with to a 3 month period. So people must go directly to the appeals tribunal and not ask that to review the decision. So that's the provision. This is supported by all the parties. The only thing that BlackTech is raising as a concern is that perhaps when this happens, there might be the tribunal will find itself dealing with too many issues. There might be a capacity constraint on their part, but also they might deal with too many minor issues. The response of the department is that, in fact, we don't think this will be a problem. First,
what
is the Black Flash is worried that when we remove that reconsideration process, we will then crowd the inspectorate with a lot of minor issues to deal with in terms of the complaints that will come down to the But we are saying, actually that's not the case. Because in terms of the legislation, the role of the tribunal is quite narrow. It is only to deal with issues where people's grants are not, what are the issues that need grants. It's only in that respect. So the other minor issues are not part of the tribunal's mandate. So that those will not come to the tribunal. So that's the best part. Secondly, in terms of the capacity issues, we are confident that we have adequate capacity to deal with it because we have regional offices that deal with where the majority of the cases happen. In the Eastern Cape and Eastern Cape, that's where the majority of the appeals come from. And we've got provincial offices there. And then the other thing is the way in which the appeals are dealt with is at SASA level, the legislation requires SASA to assist those people who are wanting to appeal by giving them the necessary forms to fill in, and then the provincial coordinators who work with SASA will come and collect those appeals and deal with them. So we think, from our point of view, our systems are quite smart, we will be able to deal with these things. That's on the appeal tribunal. Then we come country with the other substantive matter, which is on page 60, the exception. I'll come to the definition soon. But on page 16 then, we deal only with a very small matter, which is the current formulation of the legislation that the inspection for social assistance should be a government component, should be a government department. We are saying that's not necessary, it should be a government component instead. So that's the primary provision. In the legislation that we have now, the inspection for social assistance, which is an institution that is meant to basically protect the integrity of the grant service and ensure that all the grants are given to the correct persons, the and that there is no fraud and all of that. That institution is established in the current legislation as a government department. And we are saying it's not necessary. It's defined for that institution rather than a government component, rather than a government. It can share some of the other, like, the administrative services and finance and those of them with the Department of Social Services. But it's money. It's an independent way to ensure the integrity of the SACRA grant system. That function does not need to be a department of Social Services. So that's what we are saying. That provision is supported by the people who commented primarily Blackfish. That provision is supported. The only thing they are raising is that one, they want to see the inspection bonus quite salty. We are concerned that the current one that we have, but the understanding is that what we have in the department is just an incubation structure, because this part of the act has not been put in to establish the inspection. So they are worried that what we have in the department is not able to really have an impact, and they are saying we should introduce two clauses. The first clause that they are suggesting is that we should make sure that in terms of the master service level agreement that SACRA has in SACRA, they should be required in law to report to the inspection on all the issues relating to the implementation of the grant payment. They say we should put in the law that SACRA and SACRA should report to the inspection. SACRA should report to the, that they should report to the inspection. And then they're also saying that we should also compel SACRA to ensure that the data of all of the beneficiaries is protected and not used for commercial gain. Those are the two provisions that I think we should add to that. Our response to the department is that generally it's not appropriate to regulate conceptual agreements via legislation. The arrangement of how the grant payment gets done currently is a conceptual relationship between SACRA and SACRA. We do not believe that we need to legislate for how the debt service level agreement gets managed. We think rather that in the review of the SLA and the master service level agreement that SACRA has established, that is where this provision should be put in.
In the service level?
In the service level agreement, not in the legislation. Okay. Because the relationship is not a legislative relationship, it's a contractual relationship.
So that it is adapted.
Yes, exactly.
Whatever situation changes.
Exactly. Okay. That's what we are saying. So with that, we agree with those provisions, but we just think there needs to be a different system, not the legislation. If there's anything else that I'm leaving out? Oh, the other provision that they're raising is that in terms of the capacity of the inspection, they're saying that we need to ensure that, in their written comments, they say we need to ensure that there is a judge or a retired judge who is part of the inspection. But last week when we were presenting, they were actually saying they would like for the inspector to be led by a retired member of the judiciary. Mm-hmm. Our view is this is also not necessary, because the inspector is not like a judge, doesn't have like arbitration power. It's more about investigation, and it will refer all matters, any court cases that you find attached, to other agencies, government agencies, including law enforcement agencies. So it's not necessary for them to have a judge necessarily leading.
Sometimes when that proposal is made, it's not about adjudication. They just want somebody who is highly experienced and who minimize chances of going to court and so on. It's not always because there's an adjudication. So if you think about it in that context, I'm not saying accept your proposal, but look at the bigger picture, why it's not just adjudication. It's just to, there's a number of areas where a legal brain is appointed, not what is needed. But you realize that if this person has got both, there's a legal understanding. There's a lot of processes we found ourselves who could get eliminated if this person was here. So, thinking of broader way, I don't say accept it.
We say it happens. We are saying it's not essential, but it doesn't mean it will not be done. We don't think it's essential. We are saying the most important thing is.
There's much response.
The most important thing for us is to ensure that the institution has forensic skills, investigative skills, because that's where the big problems are. To make sure that that work gets done properly. And so that the leadership is leadership that is fit and proper and skilled, but what the skills are we have not had yet. So those are the key provisions, which we have supported, and we are so thankful to all of the stakeholders that we gave it.
Sure. See, I like this. I complained in the last committee. Stop running with us, the comma and full stop. Deal. They responded very quickly. Deal with the essential issues with us. And run with us in this comma and full stop and punctuation and whatever and all this kind of thing. Torture us. And the wonderful response in a short space of time. All right? We are done. Honorable members? That's how the department is responding to submissions. Honorable Scott, Honorable can you see when you are clear, there are a few hands, there are no hands at all. Can you see it? This is an advantage. Honorable Mr. Done. This is the advantage of clarity. When there were a lot of chaff in your presentation, people spend a lot of time responding to chaff. That is what is essential. In the fact that 80% of the time we were dealing with what is meaningless. Honorable Sir?
No, thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. My initial question is just a comment that I would like to make. But before I make that comment, I would like to express a word of gratitude to the different organizations that made the submissions. And I also would like to express a lot of gratitude to the department for the good work that was done and in terms of the process. I know my other colleagues will disagree with me and say, we don't have to praise a fish for swimming, but we must always be careful. We must give credit to where it's due. When we do good, we must be able to say, you have done very well, we appreciate it. When you're also not doing good, you must also be able to criticize you and hold you accountable. Yeah. But we really appreciate it. But based on the submissions, all the submissions that they made, I think they were quite fundamental, but in the main, they were actually enriching the bill. Most of them, they came to strengthen the bill. Mm. So we really appreciate that. And I would like to say, let's forge ahead and see where we can. Whether there's going to be a discussion to change in this process, whether you are going to agree or not. But the fact that at least we are moving towards the right direction. Really appreciate it and thank you very much for that. Thanks.
You see, let me make my comment on the fish for swimming. The people who say don't praise the fish for swimming is people who have not been trained in ecosystems. Because the presence of fish there swimming feeds the ecosystem. It helps other animals. So the fact that it's swimming is helping the entire system. It's only when you don't look at that science when you say don't praise fish for swimming.
Yes.
Because it sustains the ecosystem.
Thank you, Chair. But Chair, I think the presentation has really helped very, very much. Although now, because of the level of the presentation, They talked about the issue of when we were talking about the getting rid of the SASA part of dealing with the appeal, saying that the minor she mentioned the minor issues for a number of times. Now I would like to be clarified as to what mechanism would be there to deal with the minor issues, because the getting rid of that section does not get rid of the minor issues themselves, so that we make sure that the new arrangement is not locked down as all the other organizations were saying. But Chair, also I want to go back to the issue of the judge, the retired judge, and what Ms. Bego was saying about the lack of necessity for the judge to be there. I want to say in that same paragraph, Ms. Bego mentioned an issue of black judge having said there needs to be peace in this arrangement. And one thing, and in supporting what the chair was saying also, one thing, you will be giving the inspector some peace as well when you do that. But also, the legal understanding and knowing will reduce maybe even the amount of what needs to go to the other government agencies, because they would have been dealt with not in a formal way, but just using that experience would help. And in fact, when it was said that it doesn't need to be there, I would still recommend very strongly that recommendation stands. Thank you, Chair.
We are done. Before you respond, I just wanted to say to all of my son, when I'm addressing you, I'm addressing the whole committee, that sometimes the risk of making it a minimum requirement, you may find during interviews someone who is good for a bigger purpose than a judge. And then because the law says it must be a judge, I think maybe we need to think about judge is highly recommended, probably accept the word that not essential. Because the word essential doesn't mean not necessary. It means there are moments where you can do without that. But maybe it's something that we need to look at. Can the department respond?
Thank you, Honourable Member. The issue of regarding the judge, I hear the beginning. And I guess the response is that we will take that advice without making it essential. Because the issues of just when you make it a legal requirement, then you cannot have any other kind of legal. I'm just wanting not to start in that space. However, of course, if there's a legal, if there's a retired judge who's available, that's very much attractive. We just don't want to make it an essential requirement in the legislation. With regards to the issue
Essential,
non-essential,
doesn't mean it's not necessary.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Agreed. And then with regards to the question around the reconciliation and what minor issues, how the minor issues will be dealt with. There's two things. One is that because the tribunal does not in any case deal with this matter, it only deals with grant applications. The provision for the inspectorate that is in the legislation would empower the inspector to do investigations and complaints. So some of the complaints are related to the inspector. But within SASA, in terms of the organizational structure, it's meant to have the ability to deal with complaints. Because even if you have an inspector, you don't necessarily want the inspector either to be dealing with all sorts of minor complaints. So SASA needs to have an internal system that is that best, that deals with complaints at that level. So the complaints that then get dealt with by the inspector are complaints that are elevated there, not necessarily for all complaints to be initiated at the inspectorate level. That's the idea. So the tribunal is quite streamlined in terms of what it does, and it's only to do with grant applications.
So in other words, those other activities are carried outside that. Mm-hmm. Yes?
It should be for
There is a provision for a legal advice from the police legal advice. And most of the forensic investigators are lawyers as well. But the person who's leading them in the street is a lawyer.
That's a very important point. There's a lot of legal resources in the system. Yeah. Well, let's not be embarrassed when we finish on time. Let me just tell you this. I usually say, Honorable Bamboy and other members, the reason I'm such a fanatic of results based management is that it reduces the cost of risk units, risk personnel. Because when performance, when planning is so clear and results are so concrete, you need lesser risk unit. Our management in South Africa is so highly dependent on risk, on AG, on this. A lot of costs you incur this side are caused by the luxury of planning. So when you do the clear planning, saves you time. Because some of the questions we raised last week is because of the unnecessary part of the content that was there. Because it was unnecessary, it created these unnecessary questions. Mm-hmm. Now because of focusing, now the questions are essential. Deal with the essential questions. But let's just try every day to be smarter. We finish earlier. This is what we've done now. Can you plan it better than the United States? Conduct me to as a lawyer, our lawyer. They are not their lawyers, you are our lawyer. We've got our own lawyer. You want to say something?
No, not at this stage, but then we've noted the reports from the Department of Police, which we will then advise on.
Now, I don't know who's going to start. I don't want Jessica to disrupt the DG. It's like disrupting the general of the army. When the army is supposed to look at the enemy. We said last week at this portfolio committee, we don't want to put a foot wrong on the process of the children amendment. And time is everything in life. It's everything. Everything. You mess up with time, you mess up with everything. That's why systems DG are so critical. What I like about system, where I used to work, the important thing about the system, it binds everyone, the top and the bottom. If the document flow, if it says in the mayor's office it must stay for 10 minutes, it means even the mayor's office is obliged to keep it only for 10 minutes. It does not bind this and not bind that. And then it protects the time. Where is this? Who is coming? Gentlemen, can you lead us? Your meeting, tell us what happened.
And maybe before he...
Why don't we hear him first? Let's do that.
Yeah,
him. No, let's hear him first.
Okay.
Yeah. You doesn't change what they're going to say. Let's just hear what he's going to say.
Thank you, Chairperson. we carried out the extraction of the committee from the government. We immediately met the team from Parliament and our colleagues from the department soon after the committee meeting of the Motolo Committee last year to determine what are the threshold, what is the threshold situation behind the whole introduction.
before revival of the children. We met, we could not finish the issue to be discussed. So recently we met from Poland today. Some colleagues who come from Victoria to come and listen on Friday, which was the day after the committee meeting. We had an extended discussion of about 4 hours on that day, to which we have made considerable progress. The factual situation regarding the bush is that the bill is currently not before funding.
In reality.
That is the factual situation.
Which has been verified.
And that it has now agreed to it that the department will seek to introduce the bill based on the communication that's been taking place between Parliament and the department, the second and the minister, with regard to introduction. However, before that happens, there are procedural issues that have to be taken, that have to take place within the department, and that the department is currently engaged, as we are instructed within by a colleague in the department. We are trying to expedite those procedural issues to ensure that the bill is introduced without ambiguity. And that is currently where we are. We have impressed upon the colleagues in the department that it is necessary for there to be a timeline of all of these issues so that the committee is able to.
Once
we
have a timeline, all other things, it is as I suppose to know. We don't know those things. But anything else the teacher is supposed to know. It has been taken. Can the department respond? No, I'm saying on it, it's only the judgment day and the duration of your life, the whole date you do not know. Anything else is within our hands to know the date and time.
Chair, we also want to take this opportunity as the department to thank the committee for providing that guidance to us, which made things to be a bit easier than we thought. The fact that we were kind of refrain from kind of this blame game that was taking place in the last committee. We had, from our part, made sure that because there are two things it has been reported that we need to make sure that the bill is tabled. Secondly, we need to make sure that the certification of the bill. With regards to that,
so in other words, the issue of factual basis that this is not submitted is agreed. So I don't want us to waste our time on other issues. To me, that's a very important thing. All what we need from you is the time frame that takes into account all your processes. So this is what we wanted to clear. What is fundamental? That's why we must deal with essential issues. We keep our time because you stand at risk of dealing with all the issues that are not necessary. So I'm sorry about that, Tishi. All I'm saying is that now that factually there's an agreement amongst all the stakeholders that this thing is not before Parliament. Now what we need from you when we meet next week is a time frame. You know your processes. You don't start, what is the deadline for the court order?
November.
You don't start in November. You start earlier than November. Have a deadline before November. Long before November, so that in case there's any crisis, you are able to use the gap between that deadline and November. So when you come next week here, guys, show us, having taken into account all your internal processes, including cabinet and everything, and the cabinet must be impressed upon the cabinet secretary, the implications of not finishing this thing. All what we want, having considered all the key processes required, next week present to us the time frame. That's all we want. All here, what we wanted was the agreement amongst yourselves. I used to do this when I was working somewhere, I won't tell you where. when there's a dispute, because there are disputes, there are disputes that are sustained by a fake basis. And I want to say, what is this dispute? But the fact that the dispute lived longer and is at a serious cause. But when you try to check, where is this dispute coming from? You can't find. Can you imagine? It took you, you could have. The other thing, DJ, I want to raise here, on the record, I want to ask myself, to clarify something like this, was it necessary for people to fly from China? In the treasury, we had a video conference. We just switched it on. People had to come here only when it was necessary to do so. Do they fly to discuss? Yeah? That is just, we don't have money. This country is bankrupt. You see, 60% ratio to GDP, wage bill, and whatever. Workers are saying, if you say wage bill, do something on your side as government. All I'm saying, DJ, just think about these issues. I was listening, I said, no, man, who can't fly to establish something like this? Fly all the way from Pretoria, sleep in a hotel here. How many days did they sleep? One day. And they only slept to come and establish facts of this kind. DJ, I'm calling upon you. These kinds of costs must be avoided. Video conferencing can do this thing. In treasury, we used to sit there. Some of them know. You sit here, you have a meeting of fundamental issues. You finish, you look at one another, you refer, you clarify. You save the state's money. I'm saying there was no need to fly from Pretoria to this meeting. But I'm happy. That's why you agree the bill is not before Parliament. All what we need, I'm taking advice of the minister, all what we have agreed is that next week we need time frames, Minister, of the children's amendment bill. If the court order gave us November, we must take a deadline earlier than that, far earlier than November. So the process plan or the plan, whatever, give it next week. We want to stay on this. This you are going to be on the neck of the Department of Minister. We don't want to go back to court. We don't want this minister again to go and apply for another extension. We don't want that. It must not happen, not under our watch. We must, even if it's 3,000 amendments, I always ask, why 3,000 amendments? Why so many amendments if it is properly thought out? You see, there's things I say about many things, are things that are not properly thought out. There are many things in government we make 100 pages, when in business it's only 2 pages. In government, there are meetings we have for 17 days, when in business, it's hardly a day. What is going on? Why are many things that, like the hours, administration? We deal with a lot of non-essentials, because we laugh. Non-essentials are very tasty, but they take you nowhere. Minister, because we know you respect this comment, let's give you but it's not usually done. We are fine on the department's response to we have dealt with the Children's Amendment Act process. This is the way forward. We think we're done, and we're saying we spoke with the department last week and said they must learn to give us essential things. So daily you must start that act. Hardly in 15 minutes we're done with this thing. Because they look at the essential things. Not your calendar, kind of ice cream. Right? And the department did extremely well with that. So, now what is left is that we can release the department, release the department, our relationship. You know? It's going to be a lovely, we love it. As long as we listen to one another. We'll release the department till the minute, and we closed this meeting in the shortest time ever. Eh? Senkuru? Not talking to Senkuru, not a tree. You still have the stamina to stay here. Well done.
Minister, I have
to get one. I have to get one, sir. for doing good work.
My weakness about you, Minister, you've been very diligent and attentive. Sometimes I can apologize even if you're not supposed to be present. I'm very careful about that. We assume that you must be doing something, but well, that is very wrong. I think they forgot to give their apology.
Oh,
yeah, no worries.